Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging on to that site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. The last several times we've been together, we've been studying Luke chapter 14 and verses 25 to 35 under the title, Count the Cost. We've been learning about several areas of assessment that relate to our lives as followers of Jesus. So far, we've learned that Jesus calls us to assess or evaluate the area of our relationships. He stated that not only must we love him more than our family, we must love him more than we love our own physical lives. And then Jesus taught that we must evaluate our resources. Do we have what it takes to follow him faithfully to the very end? You and I can't endure the difficulty of following Jesus if we rely only on our own resources. You and I just don't have what it takes. So on today's broadcast, we will look at a final area of assessment, our strength. As we resume our study, let me read the scripture text, Luke chapter 14 and verses 25 to 35. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." That brings us to the final area of assessment in counting the cost. It is, assess your strength. This section seems to be almost a separate parable, but is closely linked to the previous one. Here, the story involves a king going to war against an aggressor. He takes counsel with himself and with his advisors to see if the task is possible with the strength of his forces. A famous military strategist once said, "First way, then venture." And look at the odds here, 2-1. This isn't an easy decision to make. A leader must have a good grasp of the strength and mettle of his men to determine the outcome with this disadvantage. Otherwise, he will quickly send his ambassador to begin negotiating for peace. And then consider the 12, the most unlikely group of men who, in the words of their enemies, turned the world upside down. When they were filled with the power of Jesus through the Holy Spirit, they pressed forward against seemingly impossible odds. Think for a moment of Peter, the one who denied his master. When he embraced God's strength through the Holy Spirit, rather than relying on his own strength, he became a powerful spokesman for God. Read his epistles because they reflect his view of suffering and his encouragement for Christ followers to embrace the cross and the crown. All of the apostles were insulted by the enemies of their master. Tradition tells us that Matthew suffered martyrdom, slain with a sword at a distant city of Ethiopia. Mark expired at Alexandria after being cruelly dragged through the streets of that city. Luke was hanged on an olive tree in the classic land of Greece. John was put in a cauldron of boiling oil, but miraculously escaped death. He was later banished to the Isle of Patmos. Peter was crucified in Rome upside down. James the Greater beheaded at Jerusalem. James the Less was thrown from a lofty pinnacle of the temple and then beaten to death with a fuller's club. Bartholomew was skinned alive. Andrew was bound to a cross and preached to his persecutors until he died. Thomas was run through the body with a lance at Coromandel in the East Indies. Jude was shot to death with arrows. Matthias was first stoned, then beheaded. Barnabas was stoned to death at Salonica. And Paul, after various tortures and persecutions, was finally beheaded by Nero in Rome. All of them had counted the cost of discipleship and obtained a victor's crown. Now, can you picture Jesus looking across the multitudes in our text and wondering how many of these would actually count the cost and go all in for him? Would they join his army, consistently outnumbered by enemy forces, and still fight to the finish? How many of them would quickly answer the call to discipleship without adequate reflection on the tremendous cost that was involved? How many would stand firm as the casualties mounted all around them? How many would stare death in the face and not blink in faithfulness to their commander? Can you imagine Jesus looking down the corridors of time and seeing your face in the crowd? Can you remember the moment you surrendered your life to Him, spirit, soul, and body? When you said, "I'm yours, Lord, use me as you will." Are you now battered and perhaps bloodied from the battle, but still faithful, still moving forward, still storming the gates of hell for your commander in chief? My friend, Jesus is assembling an army. And no, it's not like an army of this world. Remember, he told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Yes, Jesus is building a heavenly kingdom, the Church of Jesus Christ, and the powers of hell will not be able to overcome it. Praise God. You see, the source of our strength is not within us. It is in Him. On our own, we are no match for our enemies, powers of the world and the powers of the flesh and the powers of the devil. If you and I make the tragic mistake of attempting to be a disciple on our own strength, it can only lead to defeat, disillusionment, and death. Only as we realize our strength lies solely in His limitless resources will we be able to be victorious. And then Jesus closes this text with these words, "Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, at first glance, these words may seem disconnected from what Jesus had just said, but the context helps us understand them. I believe these words reinforce the concept of counting the cost of being a genuine disciple of Jesus. As I said earlier, Jesus used examples the people easily understood. Evidently, the salt they were accustomed to using was not as pure as what we have today. It could actually lose its effectiveness. And when it did, it was thrown out. In Matthew, Jesus says it is trampled under the foot of men. Here, he says, it's not beneficial for the land or for the manure pile. but men throw it out. It still looked like salt, but it had lost its inner characteristics that made it beneficial. Those who claim to be followers of Christ, but rely on their relationships or their resources or their strength, will ultimately be revealed as pretenders. They will not be willing to make the sacrifices Jesus demands of disciples. Now remember, large crowds were accompanying Jesus. They appeared to be following him. But this whole text is Jesus warning to the crowd about the cost of becoming a genuine follower. So again, he gives the warning of the ridicule, the destruction, and the rejection that await those who fail to properly count the cost. Now, my friend, what about you? As you assess the relationship between yourself and Jesus, are you truly one of his followers? Have you truly died to yourself? Do your choices primarily benefit you or others? Have you given Jesus the freedom by his Spirit to live his life through you? Or are you allowing other relationships to keep you from full surrender to him? Are you trying to be a follower of Jesus on your own resources? That will never work. You'll get discouraged and give up. The language of discipleship Jesus uses throughout the Gospels reminds us that the path is rough, even with all of heaven's resources at our disposal. The only way you and I are going to make it is to tap into those resources and commit ourselves to finishing the course. Without that, Jesus said, you and I cannot be his disciples. It's time to count the cost by assessing the resources we have in Christ and using them to the fullest. And finally, you and I must realize the source of our strength is not within us. It is in Christ. On our own, we are no match for our enemies, the powers of the world, the powers of the flesh, and the powers of our adversary, the devil. If we make the tragic mistake of attempting to be a disciple on our own strength, it will not end well. Only as we realize our strength lies solely in his unlimited resources will we be able to be victorious. My friend, with Jesus, I urge you to count the cost. Jesus clearly stated, the cost is great, but the promised rewards are even greater. Will you truly follow him today and every day? My friend, were you blessed by this study? If you'd like an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Count the Cost. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Count the Cost. I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study in Luke's Gospel. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.